This is the E-Square Podcast recording live from the Junction Complex. You are now making a worldwide connection.
What's up, everybody? Thanks for tuning into the E-Square Podcast today. We got my boy, the ultra-talented, the Vegas veteran. He's the videographer and content creator for the Jabberwockies. Everybody give it up for my boy, Christian Astorga. Let's go. Live, yo, E Square Podcast. I'm your host, Easy Mo. Today we got my boy, a very, very special guest, Christian. What's up, bro, man?
What's up?
How you doing?
I'm good, bro. Thanks for having me. I know we've been talking about doing this for a minute now, so Happy New Year and whatnot.
Yeah, so. You too, bro. Happy New Year. We're here.
Yes, we're finally here, bro. Yes, sir.
It's been like three weeks, four weeks, a month maybe.
A couple, man. Little complications in between, but it don't matter. We're here.
No, it's all good, bro. Yeah. Timing is everything, man.
It is.
And it's crazy, like, people have been hitting me up to come on the show, and that's all I've been saying is coming out of my mouth is timing is everything. There's so many people I want on the show, but it's like I got to be inspired to have you on the show.
Yeah.
You know,
I feel it.
So this is a great time because you know it just felt right. You know,
yes, sir.
It's weird. So it's one of those weird things. About time and shit.
It's all good, bro.
Yeah. So what's up, man? How what's going on in the wonderful world of Christian FGY, man?
You know, just a lot of life, man. I feel like a lot of personal and professional things happening. Mm-hmm. You know. Past couple months, you know, past year, we could touch on this later, COVID year, you know, a lot of life changes and whatnot. I think more recently, you know, again, a lot of personal stuff in my life that's just been groundbreaking.
Yeah.
You know, whatever you want to call it.
You could put a ring on it.
Yeah. You know, I got a fiance now. Yeah, it's so weird to say that. I'd be like, yo. I'm so used to, my girl. Yeah. Now I got to be like, oh, my fiance.
Yeah, she probably reminds you.
Yeah, I'll be sounding bougie, bro. Like, damn, all right, man. Yeah. It's like that. Yeah. But man.
You guys been together for a while, too, huh?
7 years, bro.
She was like, she's probably hitting you with the.
She was for sure hitting me with the little, like, hey, time clock's ticking. And I was like, I know, I got you. So
that's beautiful, man.
Yeah, man. It's a blessing. You know, 2020, despite all the ups and downs, bro, I'd like to think that. At least me and her made it a goal to make it an amazing year. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Again, we kind of spent that year building our own house. Like, we got our home, so that was our first year living together in our own home.
Yeah.
And to cap it off with that is just, you know, phenomenal on my end. And just, you know, blessings, bro. Despite it all, man, we had to do something to stay positive and stay focused on our personal goals, you know?
Yeah, so, for sure.
Yeah, man, it's been different. It's been growth, man. A lot of growing the past year, bro. So,
yeah, that's beautiful, man. Because I like to talk to people my age about the decisions to get married and do all that. So, what was it? Were you nervous?
Oh, bro, I've been telling this story to everybody, bro. The past week has been comedy, just catching up. It's been a lot of talking to family and friends, I was hella nervous. I'd already know the answer.
right.
But it's the sheer fact of the moment that,
kind
of, like, made me, like, jittery. You know what I'm saying? It was, like, I tell this to everybody I know, you know? Like, yo, I never felt that type of nervous in my life. You know, I've been in some nervous situations before, like, in life. And that particular moment was unique in every situation, in every type of way. So I tell everyone, yo, that shit is definitely... was a moment for me, bro. I was tripping. I genuinely was like,
you shaking
in my head, like. So long story short, like I was stalling with my sister and her boyfriend, and we were out all day, so like the people at my crib could get ready, and we could sneak her family into our house.
Oh, okay.
And yeah, like during that whole process, in my head, I'm like, bro, I hope nothing goes wrong right now, bro.
You're so, like thinking the worst.
So we over here faking lunch and dinner with my sister, and I'm over here like. Looking at the food, I can't even focus on this food right now. Yeah, man. So that's genuinely how it felt, man. It was everything that, this is just something that I feel like everyone, you know, blessings-wise, you go through that moment, you know. I feel like it'll be different for every person, you know. That's truly a unique moment in life.
And so there was family there?
Yeah, so I have my
I thought you guys did it on video.
Yeah, we taking the COVID real serious. Yeah. We had only intimate family there. My parents, her parents, her grandma.
It
was literally like 7 people and a couple people basically.
Yeah.
Into my sister and stuff. Mm-hmm. And then we had the Zoom pop in. So that was the only way we could have done it is just, you know, I had to hit her coworkers, her family. Yo, hop on the Zoom call. And this is as good as it's going to get, and it ended up being amazing, you know, shout out to all the family and friends who tapped in and, mm-hmm. and reached out and it was popping. Zoom was popping, bro. I'll promise you after that. And it was a New Year's Eve day.
Oh, okay.
I was so drunk after that, bro.
Really?
I had the Hennessy on deck.
Oh, shit. And yeah,
I had to Zoom and FaceTime all my family and friends after. Yo, we take it a shot. Yeah, and my girl and them, you know, we live in crazy times. Yeah, we was faded, bro. We was gone. That's a blessing, man. So
that's so dope, man. You're about to get married, bro.
Yeah, man. It sounds crazy to say it, but yes, sir.
You're getting old, man. We're getting old, shit.
Yeah, man. So
what's next, man? Is it, you gonna pop out a couple of little CJs or what?
We gonna see. We rolling the dice, my guy. We gonna see how that go, bro.
We gonna have a Corona baby on our hands pretty soon, man.
I've been seeing that everywhere, bro. But man, we gonna get it right, bro. Figure it out. Yeah, man. So.
You've always seemed to do things, you know.
Trying to.
Yeah, the right way. Yeah, man.
Much love, bro.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, for sure, man. Well, congratulations.
Thank you, man.
It's in a whole new journey you're about to embark on.
It is, bro. 2021 gonna be different. Yeah.
Bro. We're off to a rough start.
Nah, I mean, we definitely off to a rough start, bro. But, I mean, I'd like to think it's gonna be different.
Yeah, we gotta stay positive, you know.
Yeah, man, for sure.
Because so much shit is out of our control right now that it's like... Sometimes I just don't even care.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
It's kind of like you desensitized to it at this point. It's like, oh, what happened now? All right. Okay, next crazy thing, right?
Right.
Bro, that Dr. Dre thing, I was like, no way, bro. Thank God he's okay. No way, bro. The year just started.
Not Dre,
yeah,
bro.
Yeah, man. So, like, all that stuff is wild to me, man.
Isn't that sad? Like, we're just becoming... desensitized.
Bro, it's not a good look, bro. We gotta get people out and about again.
Yeah, bro. Because
sitting at home all day and not having social time we need to be, you know, we gotta have that in your life, bro. To stay sane at least, try to stay positive.
No, for sure. I mean, I think so. You said you and your family's taking COVID real serious.
Yeah, I mean, we definitely been taking seriously. Like, a reason why I wasn't able to get on here earlier is I actually got it myself.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
My sister's a nurse, so she's experiencing it full firsthand. Every day she called me about someone who died. Uh-huh. Like, she's treating these patients. My dad got it. He's good, thankfully. My mom's cool. My aunt and uncle got it. So, you know, we understand, like, okay, this is serious. More so in the mindful of being mindful of people, guests we have in our home. Like, that whole situation specifically, we had... Like, my girl's my fiance's grandma.
Mm-hmm. Get it right, bro.
She take it so serious, you know? Yeah. So she was like, I'm going to be there, obviously, but I really got to leave right after. I can't really celebrate. You know what I mean?
Right.
I don't know. I'm seeing it firsthand, bro. I'm hoping this vaccine gets distributed quicker.
You going to take it?
Personally, I am. Like, my sister got it already, and I know a lot of other people in the healthcare field who've got it and are doing just fine.
They're fine.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, I mean...
Yeah, I mean, I can understand. I'm kind of, you know, I've kind of been back and forth about it, you know, because it's just, like, it's so fast. Like, I don't know. And then, but I'll leave that decision up to when the time comes. When it's available to me, then, you know, I think I'll make that decision.
But. Yeah, it's two sides of the spectrum, you know. You got, like, there's the positive end where it's like, okay, for this past year, the whole entire world has taken the time to work and... you know, provide resources towards this one goal of creating a vaccine. Yeah. And you got to look at it in historically, you know, we've had some pretty crazy like viruses and sicknesses in the past, you know, but nothing kind of to this modern age era of, you know, that's the way it's characterized, you know, where genuinely the whole world's in a pandemic.
Yeah.
So like, you know, I kind of just want to pay respect to that in some form, shape or form. And I kind of look at it like, well, I'm praying, you know, what's the worst that can happen? You know what I'm saying? Like, they had however many test subjects, they good. So I'm just praying, you know, we gonna be good. I mean, either or.
Yeah.
Fortunately, we're young, so.
Yeah, I don't think it'll affect us too much. You know,
I definitely care more so about my parents taking it.
That's the thing. That's the biggest thing, man. That's the biggest thing. But it's like, it's almost like you said, your aunt got it, your mom got it, your dad got it. It's like, can we really avoid this? Or are we lying to ourselves?
There's definitely. That's what I'm saying. It's like, I mean. Bro, America in general is trash at the way we handled it. So this is like definitely the most unique country to talk about it so casually. Mm-hmm. But again, like, you know, they got it. And, you know, I can only hope that we can continue to prevent it through like vaccinations and things like that, man.
I think that would be the only way to really prevent it, because otherwise it's like either we do a real full shutdown.
Yeah, but or, ain't nobody gonna see. People don't want to do that. So I'm like, well, all right, bro, then go take the vaccine.
Yeah,
man.
It's one
and
of the,
at least you can live your life.
Yeah,
you know, with the vaccine, despite what you think, you know, what I mean? You know, I don't know. It is what every person's entitled to their opinion.
That's the thing is, like, we're Americans are so spoiled and we're so entitled that there will never be a time when, you know, anybody can really get everybody on the same page about something.
For real, I got homies out. I talk to my homie in Japan all the time, and he be telling me, "Yeah, man, we good.
Yeah,
we take it seriously, and because of that, we're good."
Yeah.
So I mean. You know, make the decisions y'all want over there, but at least over here, because we take it so seriously that we get to go out.
Why is that?
And like business is running, you know what I mean? I mean, they genuinely stayed inside, you know, they only went out when they needed to, you know,
but why is that? What's the difference between the Japanese people and
Americans?
Bro,
they take it seriously, bro.
I know, but what is it about them? Like, is it
the culture,
their discipline?
Their discipline, 1,000% they discipline. I mean, we got people who go here, over here, who protest the fact that we got to wear masks. Yeah, so it's a big difference of consideration and... that, you know what I mean? Japanese people are definitely more considerate than American people by far.
Yeah, when we did the full shutdown, people were like, they're trying to control us.
I'm like, come on, bro.
The conspiracy theorists, bro.
You know, word to the conspiracy theorists, but like, come on, bro. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, I really, when I got COVID, bro, that shit really like
fucked you up.
I was like, yo, I can see why this killed people. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, I had a mild case. You know, I didn't have it like, I wasn't like messed up, but I would step outside, bro, and I literally would stand outside for like 2 minutes, and I would be like, oh fuck, like I'm hella sweating right now, like I don't know what it was about processing the oxygen outside, the breathing.
It was
like,
the breathing.
My breathing, like, had problems that whole first week, and it was just like, yo, like I don't like this. You know, this is a natural function of my body.
Yeah.
And it kind of made me like, after the fact, like I need to run more. I need to take care of myself more. Mm-hmm. You know, I think this whole year was just more like value your health. You know what I'm saying? So
for sure.
Man.
Value your health. Value your simple freedoms and just. Bro. You know,
it's real, bro.
Bro, this whole year just made me really want to just never buy a house in a neighborhood and really just get some land somewhere somewhat secluded.
Because,
bro, if shit hits the fan, like this was a pandemic, but the disease itself, you know, it does damage, but it's not like if you get it, you're dead. Mm-hmm, you know, it's not a death sentence, you know, for a lot of people, for most people. Right. So I think history has told us that at some point down the line, you know, something's going to come along where if you get it, it's a death sentence, you know? Mm-hmm. So what do you, the worst place you can be in that time is in a fucking big city, you know?
The way, bro. So if you are in the desert, secluded in your own crib,
bro, you gotta be ready, bro.
I feel
it's crazy, bro. That's the only thing that kind of raised my anxiety was the grocery stores.
No, for sure.
How people were acting with the grocery stores.
It was popping too that first week of pandemic. Oh, I was like, yo,
it was the end of the world.
I don't want to go in there right now, man. We bought all the toilet paper, bro.
Yo, I just hope the aliens show themselves this year, bro. For real, they need to reveal themselves,
oh,
bro.
Oh my goodness.
And come get a
whole world gonna change after that, man.
Yeah,
it'd
for
be
real.
Different, bro.
Yeah, maybe I think. I don't know about other countries. Japan probably and all those places don't need it, but we need a little fear factor. Because we don't respect the government. Yeah, we don't respect jack shit.
I know what you're saying, like a common denominator for people to unite on.
Yeah, I feel it.
Because it's been peaceful for too long, and people take that for granted.
Yeah, I
know what you're saying, bro. I feel it, man.
Well, I don't think there's going to be another like world war or nothing. Bro.
Nah, I hope not. We too sophisticated for that, bro.
The next world war is going to be the last war.
Relax, bro. Yeah. People
going to drop nukes and all that shit.
Yeah.
All right, so let's get into Christian FGY, the visual creator, bro.
Yeah, you've
like leveled up so much, bro. Do you remember how we met,
bro? I don't even remember.
I do through music tip.
I'm trying to remember.
I do.
You were enlightened. Remind me, bro.
It was at the Walmart on Craig and MLK.
Bro, hold on. Yeah. Keep going, bro.
And I was buying some tickets off you. Was it the Kanye tickets off me?
Yeah. What?
Or no, was I buying shoes off of you?
It could have been either or, because I was for sure selling both.
Yeah, I think it was tickets. I think I bought to the Yeezy tour. I think I bought 3 tickets.
Maybe, bro. I don't remember, but that's hella funny. I genuinely don't remember that.
Yeah, to the St. Pablo tour. It was around that time, I think.
I'm trying to remember if I bought that. Like, I sold so many concert tickets at that time, so I don't... It could have been any concert, bro.
It was concert tickets for sure, because I knew who you were through T-Rab.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Shout out Rab. And I was like, and it's funny because I was gonna buy tickets like online regular, but then I seen you posted it, and then I was like, oh, I gotta meet this dude.
Oh my
god, I gotta meet him.
That's comedy, bro.
I gotta meet him, bro.
I'm trying to, like, it's coming back piece by piece in my head. But bro, I sold so many tickets during that time. Like,
how did you get a hold of tickets?
It was a little side hustle, bro.
Oh,
like,
word?
I mean, depending on what it was, I was working with Purple Crown at the time.
Oh, that's right.
So
okay.
We was doing all the shows, and I knew what was going to come up, what wasn't.
Yeah.
And then some concerts in town, I just knew it was going to sold out. So let me buy a couple extra and just flip it. You know, just make an extra couple $100 on the side.
Yeah, for sure.
At the time.
Yeah.
So.
That's wavy.
That's so funny, though.
That's how we met, bro.
That's comedy,
On Craig and MLK at the Walmart. Yeah.
Craig and MLK Walmart, bro. That's a Walmart right there.
Yeah, that's home court over there, bro. Yeah.
So that's hella funny, dude.
Yeah.
So,
what high school did you go to?
Canyon Springs.
Bro. Oh, really?
Yeah, man.
Oh, you went to Springs.
I know you've had some people up on here from Springs, man.
Yeah,
so,
I had Courtney.
Yeah. Shout out Ladies Room.
Ladies Room. Who else went to Canyon Springs that I had on here?
I don't remember.
Maybe that's all her. Yeah.
But man. Like that's my high school, bro. I didn't know
you went to Sea Springs, bro.
I was a pioneer. Canyon Springs.
What year did you graduate?
2012.
Oh, okay. So I'm 2 years older. I went to Legacy up the street. So
yeah. So there you go, bro.
Yeah, man. Dope, bro. Northside kids, man. Northtown, man. Yeah.
It is, man. Yeah. That's real stuff.
So, all right, so where should we start, man? You want to start with T-Rap? You
want
to start with
Rab? Start wherever you want, bro.
Let's start with Rab, bro.
I'm following you
Or how did you pick up a camera? Let me ask you that first. Let's go all the way back.
All right, bro. Like, as far as picking up a camera, back in Canyon Springs.
Okay.
Canyon Springs changed my life, bro.
For real, okay.
The greatest high school in the world, bro. Canyon Springs, bro. I took a broadcast journalism class. I think before that, I was kind of interested in cameras because I was making YouTube videos for fun.
Uh-huh.
This is when YouTube was, like, popping off.
Yeah, yeah.
So I was watching all the YouTubers, like, early YouTubers at the time, and I was like, yo, I got to borrow my parents' camera a little... small Canon PowerShot.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I wanted to take it a little more serious, and I didn't know they provided a class in high school that kind of focused on that, broadcast journalism.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the announcements, bro. What better way can you learn how to do video? So, long story short, I took that class, got my own camera, and just started shooting stuff. And I think what just so happened to be my subject and my motivation, you know, to apply that camera to... was the hip-hop music scene, you know? At the time, I loved hip-hop music. I was falling in love with it, and I wanted to find a way to contribute locally to somebody's music career, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So genuinely, at the time, I got involved, like, locally heavily.
Mm-hmm.
I was just trying, a kid looking for opportunity. I was going out of my way to hit up people on MySpace, all that.
MySpace.
I got super tapped in with my local Canyon Springs music community. Shout out Real Hits. That's, like... we all grew up at Canyon Springs family, like me, Impact.
Oh, Impact, that's
Complex,
right.
Complex, yeah. S Dot, J Cash, my homie Myson, my homie Rodney, Stefan S. Dot. I don't know if I said names twice or not, but yeah, man, we were deep, bro. Mm-hmm. Because of having that, like those guys are really family to me, like day ones, genuinely. And we grew up in that dream, you know, to have friends that you dream with. At that age, like
it's a special bond. Yeah,
we was 15 years old, 16 years old. That's unbreakable, you know. So that's my family. To have those people in my life to motivate me and, you know, shoot videos for them, to have a reason to do it. Yeah. That's what started it for me. And then I ended up branching off to, like, working with, like, Kill Off Entertainment at the time, like Trade and everybody. I was the youngin' back then, bro.
Yeah, so, my boy Sam, Yogi, you know, he was on here. And I was,
long time. I haven't seen dude in a minute, bro.
Yeah, I had him on the show.
I was telling
him that you were going to come on the show. And he was like, yeah, man, he was out there at 13. Bro, we knew he was going to be something.
Bro,
yeah.
I was up in the fort. I didn't know what was going on, bro. Yeah. Shout out D-Mob because... Yeah. D-Mob was the one who I actually hit up first, and it's so random, man. Like I look back and I'm like, bro, that's like I was that young. Like it was, and it's some weird situations, yeah, bro. Yeah. Like imagine a 15-year-old like being in the garage with the homies, like, you know, and we just chiefing and talking shit, like the whole nine. You know what I mean? I look back, I'm like, man, I'm so grateful for those moments. You know what I mean? Yeah. So yeah, shout out D-Mob because him and Trade picked me up, and I heard you wanted to shoot, and we just. You know, I actually did Trade's, like, first music video.
Oh, really?
Like, hella random, bro. Yeah.
Oh, shit.
So, shout out to him, because he always bring it up every time. Like, yo, you know what I mean?
Trade's so awesome, bro.
So, you know, outside of Canyon Springs, the North Las Vegas community definitely cultivated me in, like, strategizing and, like, thinking of, like, ways to apply better. Like, working smarter, you know? It's like... You can do a video, but how can I make this video get seen? Or, like, how can I be better at making this video? Mm. Who I got to work with? Who can I connect?
Right. How was the scene back then? Like, you know, what you can remember was, were there shows going on?
Oh, it was shows every week, every other week. The scene, that I feel like back then, that was when it was at its prime. Like, personally, and I wish that things followed suit since then. Mm-hmm. But, like, you know, I've been tapped out for a minute, though.
Yeah.
Shout out Blair, too. He's another day one. He went to Cheyenne, but he was within our little Cane Springs community, North Las Vegas community.
Yeah.
I'm getting going on tangent.
No, he makes some crazy beats though. Yeah.
But during the time, Kill Off Entertainment and like all the homies they was doing shows every other weekend.
Where at?
I'm trying to remember, bro. I'm taking L's at remembering all the spots. I should know them off by heart, but I don't.
But like there like poetry random, slam random, places yeah, and poetry, shit. Yeah,
you
yeah.
already yeah, poetry slam spots, freaking local like random bar places, hookah lounges, restaurants that let people rap and throw the show. And what was tight about the time is we would always have at least 50 people in the venue, bro. Mm-hmm. And like it would be tight. Like I have video footage of this. It's still on Vimeo. I could pull it up.
Oh, I need it. Oh, it's on Vimeo.
I gotta show you. I got all the footage in there, bro. Okay. I got all the footage. Yeah, man. It was always a North Town headliner and all of that, you know.
So you think that was his prime? So you know,
man, I chronicled that whole era, bro. Like every rapper's local rappers shine moments, you know, even Dizzy, bro. Like I remember Dizzy had his shows at Daddy Max. That's one of the spots. I don't know if you remember on the east side.
Okay.
There was hella random places, but I chronicled all of it, you know, just wanting to shoot it and like documenting it all from, like I said, from the trades.
You might be one of the only people that have done something like that.
I might be one of the only historians from, you know, like to the Sean Roses. I don't know. You know, there's a lot
Sean
of...
Sean Rose,
there's
Sadrew
a lot
Price
of,
and all
yeah,
that.
Yeah, Sadrew and SU and like even before... Man, it's just... Oh, give me a headache thinking about it.
Dog, I got to talk to you. I got to talk to you after the show about something. I got to talk to you.
All right, let's do that, bro. Yeah. But yeah, man, like I look back and that's why... consider that a prime time because there were so many like talent like I don't mean to be
like people
condescending
now are,
but the talent level at the time was higher or like consistently higher amongst multiple people as opposed to now where it's like people are in the scene but there's only a handful who I would consider like I'll actually listen to your music in the car when I leave, you know what I'm saying?
I understand
yeah,
that
man. So I didn't see the rise and like unfortunately, what I think is a fall, I guess, when shit started dying down. You know what I mean? So,
well, I think it's like, it's just like every, like Instagram took over.
Yeah, yeah, no, it did.
You know, and it changed the landscape. It did, bro. And, you know, people's approach to music.
It did. And not everybody adapted to it as best as I feel like it should have. You know, it was the blog era, bro. That was a prime time of hip hop for a lot of people to come up. So, I only wish, if I could go back in time having the skill set I do now, I feel like I just look back, like, I wish I had bars at video back then, because I feel like I could have done some justice for the community, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Because at the time I was making videos, but I was trash. I was just a kid trying to, like, do what I love, even if it was trash.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, it is what it is.
It is what it
is. Life happens, but, man, I wish.
But you got it on camera, though, bro.
I do, bro. I got it on camera for sure. I got a whole lot of moments on camera that are comedy.
That's the most important thing.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
Damn. I would love to see those, bro.
Bro, I got you. We're going to link up again. Yeah. Grab some lunch. I'll just bring my laptop on the Wi-Fi, bro.
So. Hell yeah. So how'd you link up with Rab? Because that's how I really started hearing, like, you know.
Shout out, bro. Yeah. I got to link up with Rab. It's been a minute. But and I know he was on here recently, too. So, man, I love that. Long story short, same shit, because he was in the same, like, crew of North Las Vegas, and he was more so closer in age for me, and personally he was my favorite rapper, like, within, like, him and Trade were some of my, like, my favorite rappers from that scene specifically, like, just, you know, personal opinion wise, because he had bars, bro. So we met just off top, you know, mutual friends, knowing each other, and like, eventually, you know, hey, let's link up, let's shoot videos, or I'll make you graphics. I made some of his first artwork. For
Art
some
Always?
Of his mixtapes.
Did you do that one?
I didn't do that one. Shout out, I forgot the artist who did that. Okay. But before that.
Okay,
like,
okay.
Even before that, like, his early shit.
Okay.
Yeah, man, he's just a dope dude who I wanted to work with off of the sheer talent he had, you know what I mean? So, lives down the street from me.
He's still one of, to me, the best MCs out of the city.
I swear to you, bro. I got to link up with him again.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. By far, bro. Bars.
Yeah, bars.
And his own style, bro. Dude. Like, you can't compare it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but he doesn't sell himself. He's too much of a recluse, bro. He's a quiet dude, man. You know, I try to get him out of his shell sometimes, and
I feel it, man. It's all good, you know.
People
is people.
I know. This is what he's just a real artist.
Bro, he's genuine.
Yeah, he's an artist, and
all artists is different personalities.
Well,
bro.
Yeah, artists, like, real artists, their brains, you know, move in a certain direction.
Different. It is what it is, bro.
That's why people need managers. Yeah.
Yes, sir.
So how'd you get into that role? Were you, like, his official manager?
At the time, man. Yeah. It was just out of love of, like, during that time, bro, like, man, it was after a lot of the Kill Off scene, like, kind of, you know, went in its own direction. A lot of the Las Vegas music scene was going another direction. At the time, I low-key felt like, all right, I think it's time. I think I could help some people out. Like, I think I could do some, like, I've learned a lot from my moments and experiences. And at this time, I think I'm 17 or 18. Mm-hmm. So I went through my high school shit, and I'm going to college, and I'm like, yo, I think, like, I got a little better at the video shit. I can make better videos for sure, better artwork. Like, on the creative end, that's shit that we don't got to worry about. But on the business end, I also felt like I learned a lot about how people be moving. I built a little bit of relationships locally, like, through, like, you know, my homies working with, like, the concerts and, like, the blogs, you know. I just did a little bit of due diligence at the time, and I felt I could apply some of those resources to my friends. So I was just like, yo, Rab, you're fucking talented. Let's link up. Let's make it happen. Like, there's a lot of people I know you could work with who are, like, you know, I connected him with, like, the Real Hits homies. They already knew each other, but, like, I really was like, all right, y'all got to be in a room together, like, Blair specifically, Complex, et cetera. Just connecting the dots, right?
Right.
I just hit him up, like, yo, let's would you be down if I could manage you? You know what I mean? And, like, just on some organic shit.
No, I think it's better when a manager is someone like you that plays a creative role in it.
Yeah.
So they can understand that side of it. Like, I say all the time, if an artist wants a manager, it should be like your DJ or something.
Yeah, or at least have an understanding of the craft of what is needed to connect that. You know, you got to finesse it, right? You need to finesse those resources for your artist you're managing. So at the time, yeah, man, it, long story short, yeah, it was just organic, bro. We already knew each other. Yeah. Like, yo, let's do it.
I love you guys together, bro.
Yeah,
that
man.
It seemed like a really good team.
Such a good time, man. Yeah. I'm telling you, that dude's so talented, and it was just so easy to work with because he always had a vision. Mm-hmm. He still always has a vision of what he wants. Yeah. Now, our always phase was crazy. Like, she was crazy.
Yeah.
Bro, we had the shit, the release party at fucking Stussy, bro, before that shit closed. Mm-hmm. Like, what?
Yeah, bro. Yogi was telling me about that. Yeah. You'd be up in there shooting all the time.
Bro, this is a tangent, but Undefeated Stussy during that time, bro, that was like a whole different move, bro. Yeah. Like, I was just the kid in there trying. I couldn't even afford it. Mm. I couldn't buy a $30 t-shirt, but I wanted it so bad. Mm. I wanted to be a part of the culture, bro. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you're familiar with, like, Neek. From Antisocial
Social Club. Yeah, he created that.
Yeah, bro. Like, I was the little homie, and he would always just, like, yo, what's good, man? Hey, how are you doing? Just, like, you know, like,
just showing love,
that whole group of people during that time was just, it was just such a good time, man.
Yeah.
Like, genuinely, it was community effort and
kind of laid your foundation, huh?
Yeah, man. And it was cool, like I said, in relation to the rap thing, like, it was such a blessing for them to do that, for us to have that release party, because, like, no artist gets the opportunity to do that.
Not like
there's
that.
Only one other artist who's done that. That was Sean Rose. He did it Undefeated. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it was it was a time, man.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, it kind of lays your foundation to what you become now, huh? You give all that credit to those.
Those moments made me, bro. Yeah, by far. You know, like, it's those experiences of camaraderie that really motivate and inspire, you know? So, like, I don't regret any of that. That's that's blessings, times of difference. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
so
it's just raw. It's just raw, really? Organic. Yeah, man.
Yeah.
And that was like, that was, you know, those back then, what is that, 2012? Those
that was 2012, 13, 14-ish. Yeah. I don't remember the exact
Those were really, really, like, if you look back on it now, they're like kind of real pivotal times in the sense of, like, you know, music in Vegas locally. And, you know, I'm not like, you know, I've kind of detached myself a little bit from, you know, the local scene.
Yeah,
because, you know, I love the city so much. Sometimes I love it too much.
I can get it
a little emotional, emotionally, like, wrapped up in it. Mm-hmm, and it's like, but now looking back on it, it's definitely like, you know, you hear about those times and it's like, you know, there's a lot of all those guys pretty much are still doing music today. And it's a beautiful thing, man. And people don't, you know, gotta give them their flowers, bro. You know, so it's good your name dropping up here, man. Cause you know, a lot of those guys might, you know, people might think they're new, but they've been around doing their thing.
Genuinely, bro, man. It's been a journey, man.
Yeah. So you go to college, you go to UNLV.
Yeah, I went to UNLV.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then Ill Vibe Theory, how that started.
Ill Vibe Theory, yep, bro.
That was epic, bro. You've been doing podcasts for, like, before anybody else, man.
I did it so much, I had to fall back, bro. Yeah, man. So that's a whole nother journey in life. During the midst of that, like, so another group of people who mean very much to me, first and foremost, shout out Kaylin. She went to Legacy. Mm-hmm. We're the same age. Mm-hmm. During that whole phase of, like, hip-hop music in Vegas locally, like, she was, like, my role dog. Like, she was my, like, yo, we got to go to the show together. Like, she's one of my best friends. Still is. I was on the phone with her today. Just she was one of the people who I know could genuinely relate. Mm-hmm. We had the same dreams and ideologies and focus. It's always a blessing to have a friend who you could kind of share those feelings with, as far as, like, yo, like, this is what I want to do in the hip hop industry. This is what she wanted to do.
Yeah.
So even in high school, we kind of, like, collaborated as much as we could in high school. Mm-hmm. Like, she had her own brand called We The Hype, I think. Mm-hmm. And we just, I don't know, we did our best to, she's in more in the journalistic role. So she was a writer. She was a hip hop writer. So she was doing a lot of blog stuff. So she worked currently at Los Angeles Times.
Yeah.
Lives in LA.
Yeah.
So she's still doing it big and trying her best to, like, you know, working with big clients and stuff on the writing tip.
Yeah.
So it's cool to see it full circle. We'll get to there.
Yeah.
So we both went to UNLV. She went there for journalism and I went there for marketing and finance.
Marketing but, and finance?
Yeah. I went the practical route.
What?
I got to get
that. Why? Your parents?
Yeah. I mean, I've never been a college type of dude. But like, I also have to pay homage to my family. Right, so, right. like, if I chose anything, it would be that for them. Mm-hmm. And something I could practically, I'm not going to waste my time in college on some bullshit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Especially studying like film. I wouldn't want it like the art wise. I wanted to go the practical route.
Okay.
But anyway, yeah, so because Kaylin was doing journalism, that whole college school, that part of UNLV kind of had access, those students had access to the broadcast realm of journalism,
okay.
which was radio.
Okay.
So basically, underground in the UNLV basement, they have a whole FM radio station just available for use. And if you can prove yourself as a student, you know, you can get that opportunity to be a part of that. So long story short, me and her came together, and then my homegirl Jocelyn ended up hopping on as well, who also works in radio presently. Shout out to her. She's one of a close friend of mine as well. We just came together, and we all love hip-hop. We shared the same passion for hip-hop music. Mm-hmm. We just wanted a place where we could play our favorite music, you know, mm-hmm. and talk music shit.
Yeah.
And fucking
yeah, that was like the only real like
yeah.
spot like yeah. you know that you and that we, that artist could get their airtime.
And we wanted to give a platform for local rap, you know, not only just local music, but fucking we was having like, you know, at the time, bro, we had like Vic Mensa, Casey Veggies, mm-hmm. freaking Rhapsody. We had a lot of big artists on there. I'm trying to remember because there was for sure some bigger ones, but I don't remember off top.
Yeah.
It, you know, we was doing the phone interviews and we were trying to bridge that gap for the community
mm-hmm.
And having people on. And we were kind of the hip hop voice for UNLV. Mm-hmm. You know, we kind of had random people hitting us up. We actually did a campaign for ASAP Rocky randomly.
Oh, word?
For it because they wanted to reach out to UNLV to work with college kids who are in hip hop. And what better way to reach out to UNLV hip hop on a radio station?
Yeah.
So I'm going on tangent.
No, this is great, bro. This
that,
is good
that
stuff.
That whole time, that those 4 years of college, you know, we dedicated that one day a week to go talk and do music shit all the time. And
it was only one time a week?
I'm tripping. We used to do 2 times a week, bro. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. The timing would change every other year or every year, like that's depending dope. On our.
I mean, so they had all the equipment there for
yeah,
you.
Yeah, it's
go.
A whole studio, bro. Yeah. Not just one. It's like 10 studios in there.
Damn,
it's for a real UNLV campus like situation for people. Yeah, so it was a blessing, bro, because they trusted us and they gave us that power to be on FM radio. Yeah. You know, that's a big deal. You know what I'm saying? So I look back and I'm like, man, that shit's tight, man. You know what I mean? For music lovers and people who are passionate about it, we just did it because we loved it, you know?
So, yeah. I mean, how could you not love something like that as a
man.
Kid, bro?
Yeah, bro, for
like,
sure.
Like, what?
Yeah.
So, in college, you're doing interviews with artists and like.
It was a lot, for sure, man. Focusing on school and balancing that. And,
bro, think about how big your podcast could have been right now.
Bro,
You and Kaylin, bro, you guys would be the Joe Rogans right now, bro.
Dude, I think about it that sometimes too. You know, we were genuinely more broadcast oriented.
Yeah.
But I would joke around with her. I'd be like, "Yo, we should like just do a podcast, though." Like, you know what I mean?
Oh, you
like,
were thinking about that back then?
Yeah. But like at the time, it's funny because podcasts right now are so much bigger.
And oh my god,
over
bro.
The course of 5 years, like, that shit changed so much.
Bro, it's like I almost didn't really want to do it.
It's like music's so saturated,
bro.
But there is a part of these conversations that make it even like it doesn't matter. It's just fun, you know.
And you
talking to real shit with real people.
Yeah.
So and I mean it's as if we're just talking outside of you know somewhere else, but it just happens to be recorded, you know.
Yeah.
We for sure was thinking about it, but it's just a lot of time and effort to put into something. Yeah, you know what I mean?
It is, bro. That's why I like that's it. Like my boy wanted to come on and co-host with me, and I'm like, fuck no. Fuck no, I gotta wait. You're always late, bro. I gotta wait for. I'm not waiting
there's
on anybody,
of,
you know?
Yeah.
So that's why it's like, it's cool because, you know, I'm in control. But doing it with somebody is like, would be fucking miserable.
It's already an organizational thing.
Yeah,
you gotta worry,
dude.
Bro. I feel it, bro.
For real. So how was your college experience overall, you know, V, though?
It was great, man. Yeah. You know, at first I was slacking off because I didn't care.
Yeah.
Towards the end, it was inspirational because I kind of grew with that marketing cohort of kids, and we kind of got close just chasing a goal of wanting to get that degree together.
Yeah.
So, like, did
you graduate with that marketing degree?
Yeah, marketing and finance.
Oh,
yeah.
Dang.
So I ended up just thugging it out, and you know, shout out to them. Like, that was a whole nother era of friends that I really grew close with, just chasing another goal. And I was just happy to get that shit over with. Honestly, yeah, man. That was a chunk of time, bro, that just and money that gave me a headache, bro, for real.
What, did you graduate with a bunch of debt?
I got some debt, not like too much, because staying positive, I know motherfuckers out there got crazy debt.
Yeah.
Compared to them, I'm cool.
You're good. Yeah. I'm comfortable. It's manageable.
It's manageable. Yeah. You know, I'm cool, bro.
Yeah, so. I'm still a sophomore in college, so.
Hey, bro.
I've been a sophomore for like 10 years, man.
Nah, bro. You gonna do it, bro.
I, you know what? I don't even care about finishing it. Mm-hmm. I just want to do it for my mom.
Do it, bro. Hey, you know what
I
mean? Real,
I just want to do it for her.
Hey, man. And it's people be acting like it's a race or you got to finish. Like, bro, honestly, bro, education is on your time.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's different, bro.
Yeah, I always just kind of felt like it was like, yo, I don't even know what I want to do so much. Bro, you know,
especially when you don't specifically know what you want to do. Yeah. Take your time, bro. Figure it out. And when you figure out what you want to do, it just makes college easier. You know what I'm saying?
Because you're not using a fucking finance degree.
Yeah, I'm not. Unfortunately, I'm pretty pissed off. But I got it, but
Yeah, well, at least you can say you got it. Like, really, that's what it comes down to, huh?
At the end of the day, flex. It's a flex. Like, honestly, that's all that was. Genuinely,
that's hilarious.
Yeah,
you made your parents proud, I'm sure.
I better. Yeah, not yet. No, it makes them happy to think about for sure, bro.
Yeah, so. They feel accomplished. I feel like that's like a parent's like stamp on success.
Y'all are good. Go get out the crib. Go live your life now. I don't gotta worry about it, right?
Yeah, so. For sure. So you graduate college, and then what? How'd you like? Were you doing videos throughout?
I mean, throughout college, you already know I was still doing video shit, man. Oh, man, I don't know, bro. College is a blur because, you know, I was definitely investing my time in college into other shit, like work-wise, work-related things. Mm-hmm. I wasn't trying to do no, like, sorority, fraternity bullshit. Like, I wasn't really getting involved with the college bullshit.
I was still
in the hip-hop shit, like, deep, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, so I was still filming shit. Shout out PK, Purple Crown. I ended up working with him during college on the marketing team, just shooting every concert, helping give out fucking flyers on that street.
Yeah, they were like the only ones in the city.
We was the only ones, bro. Man, motherfuckers better credit because that shit, we was the ones bringing every artist out.
No, for real.
Every single one, bro.
Yeah, for real.
Them Dom Kennedy shows, I know motherfuckers remember that shit. That was a good time.
Yeah, He just came out here last year.
He did.
Was that you guys again?
I'm not sure if that was us, but you know, the first times, bro. We brought out Kendrick, bro. The day Good Kid, Mad City came out, bro. We brought out Kendrick, bro. Yes.
Where?
At the Hard Rock Live, bro.
God damn.
I got some pictures and videos still to this day, bro. That was the whole movie.
God damn.
In town, bro.
So what's Purple Crown doing now?
I think PK's doing his own thing marketing-wise, like in his own personal career. I can't even speak.
Oh, it's a person.
Yes. PK. Well, Purple Crown as
is a company, but PK is the person.
I'm speaking on PK, he's doing his thing, doing big things. As far as Purple Crown, I can't speak because I haven't had that conversation with him in a minute. So,
well, I guess they're not not doing.
He got future plans. You know, that's all I really could say.
So. Yeah, well, that whole industry's down right now. So
yeah, fuck man, that's trash. Yeah, I want to go to a concert so bad.
I know, bro. Yeah, man. I've been itching, bro.
I've been. Crazy. I'm trying to go fucking get fucked up at the concert, bro. So, you know, get
there's
lit.
Better time out than to go.
Yeah, man. Fuck it. Like, I always will go to a concert over a club, bro.
Oh.
I love that shit, man.
I hate clubs.
Tight. Yeah, that shit too much.
Do you have to go to clubs, like, for Jabberwocky stuff?
Thankfully, not like that. Okay. I mean, we do be having our gigs here, last year we went to Miami for the Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah.
And we was following DaBaby around.
Yeah, I seen it.
But bro, we done went to three back-to-back thing. Like, we went to a club, to two private parties. And
that motherfucker was working,
I'm literally fucking running through the crowd, like, at the Fontainebleau, bro. This shit, this is like one of the biggest, the Sports Illustrated party. I'll never forget. That shit, I was so fucking mad, bro, because it was all types of people in front of us. Uh-huh. And you got to imagine transporting like seven guys and masked up, the Jabberwockies fucking trying to get through that situation is like, no.
Yeah.
Bro, it was like a fucking mosh pit, man. Like, I genuinely hate that shit, bro. But yes.
That's fun, though. Sounds fun. Sounds like a good time.
Fortunately, we don't be having to, like, you know, go to a club like that, bro.
Yeah.
But,
all right, well, now since we're on Jabberwockies, how did you get. What is that process, or how did you get in the position you're in?
You know what, we got a great transition of what we was just talking about. We was talking about PK, that's my guy. Long story short, the CEO of Jabberwockies at the time linked up with PK.
Okay.
And like PK got to know the company and they just became friends.
Okay.
Jabberwockies would need like a videographer here and there for certain projects. And like I'm obviously like, bro, any work, let me know.
Yeah.
And I was just referred to that situation. I did a lot of work for them before I became full time. And
that's beautiful.
Yeah, man. Like, six degrees of separation, right?
That's the universe, bro.
It's the ultimate like hold on, I'll circle back to that. But yeah, like basically linking up to them, doing work for them, like part, like just random videos, and then eventually they hit me up with the, hey, we need someone full time to work with us, bro. Mm-hmm. So I was like, fuck yeah, full time, let's fucking run it up. So,
what were you doing at the time?
So this actually happened in college. I started working with Jabberwockies full time for my junior year of college. So that was a
damn.
Let me get back to that before I get to that. Okay. Dude, genuinely, like, to anyone listening to this, bro, fucking say yes to shit, man.
Yeah.
Like, work your ass off and, like, meet people and, like, network and, like, just fucking work with them.
Because you never
know. Like, literally dead ass, like, this fucking podcast is tight right now because I'm thinking about how I talked about the process of where we are today.
Yeah.
Fucking going from that high school, North Town, Las Vegas shit, like, led me to working with the local concert shit, led me to working with the Jabberwocky shit. In simplistic terms,
yeah,
like that, like if I didn't say yes to certain opportunities, if I didn't, like, there were so many moments in those during that journey where I, like, I was obviously the one on the fucking short end, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Fucking taking L's. I took so many L's, right?
Yeah,
like
fucking
doing shit for free and like getting fucking spit on, like you know what I'm saying? But that shit led me to fucking this Jabberwocky shit where I am today. So.
It's like a domino effect.
Yeah, man. It's fucking crazy. Yeah. It's hilarious. But anyway, so I ended up working full-time with them while in college. So, bro, I'm over here managing full-time college, and Jabberwocky's over here trying to get me to go out of town for a fucking week. or like every other week, bro. I'm trying to finesse. So at this time, I'm finessing college with fucking like this trap.
Yeah, because you can't just like... say, yo, Jabberwockies, I got a paper due, you know?
I had to find the middle ground because Jabberwockies for sure understood I'm in school.
Yeah.
But school, it was more so school not understanding I was doing this shit. Exactly. So I had to finesse my way. I had to work triple time, bro. Yeah. Fucking work my ass off trying to. Bro, I was doing some crazy shit, bro. We had a gig in Hawaii. I'm over here on the beach doing my fucking final studying, bro. Like, swear to God, like, no gas, bro. Like,
That's beautiful, bro. Yeah.
That's a different type of blessing.
Yeah.
And I fucking, like, genuinely, that's why I fucking tell people, bro, work hard, bro. That shit pays off.
Yeah, yeah.
For real, man.
Just put your head down, you man. Green light. Yeah.
You can make it work, bro. You just got to see the light at the end of the tunnel. Because that's fucking school shift with the work shit was hard, but, like, paid the fuck off, bro.
It's really not that bad if you think about it. Just fucking do it, you know?
Bro,
what
it really
just
ain't,
fucking
bro.
Work. Yeah.
If you really want it, you're going to get it. If you don't want it, then, I mean, shit, that's on you, bro.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to figure out a way if you want that shit bad enough, right?
So 100%.
But that's the long story short of how I got with Jabberwocky shit.
Damn, that is wild, bro.
Yeah.
That's wild. I didn't know you were been working with them for that long.
Yeah, bro, it's about to be 6 years, man. So, I have to count. I'll be forgetting, bro. Time be going by hella fast.
So what's your work schedule like? Like,
right now is just flexible as far as, like, I'm obviously full-time. You know, this year was obviously different. But, yeah, I shoot everything and, you know, produce the videos, content still. But I also picked up working, like, on the social media marketing end.
Oh, okay,
so,
okay.
You know, that's a blessing to see that side of the spectrum of working with like a entity or a brand, you know what I mean, like that. So
I feel like that's a tough thing for people, like, you know, brands or artists or whatever the case is, like learning how to post, what to post, to post, like have you just been like
it's
trial and error?
A trip, man, because reflecting on when I was like, say, managing Rab on that level and reflecting on working with like a major artist, you know, Jabberwocky is treated like, although they're a dance crew, they are an entertainer.
Right.
So when you're working with an entertainer or a brand of that caliber, you know, you're seeing different shit. You're just seeing different numbers. You're really seeing everything happen in real time of what you dream of wanting that for, you know, an other artist, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
so it's different, bro, for sure. I learned so much just through this opportunity of seeing that type of stuff. You know, you don't get that opportunity often to fucking see what it's like. Fucking 5 million followers,
the big notifications.
Yeah, man. So it's a blessing for sure, bro, to to see that full circle, man, and work, having that chance to work in that, like, world, bro.
Yeah.
Sure.
Damn, that is because the Jabberwockies is like, you know, they had they took over the world at one point.
Yeah, man. And it's a blessing to see us popping off still to this day, bro. Still got the still show popping strong. At MGM, yeah. bro. Still doing music videos, working with celebrities.
Did they switch off? Do they switch out dancers? How does that work?
I can't really.
You can't say it. Okay,
I can't really speak much on that end, bro. I can only speak on my end, bro.
Okay.
I gotta keep my. You know,
I've always just wondered, I've always wondered, just like who they are, how that works, and like the audition, thing.
Let's
like,
just say, bro. Hey,
thank you to done.
They the real OG man.
Yeah,
the OGs, bro. They OGs, man. They talented.
Yeah, and they all live out here.
Yeah, for the most part, bro.
So. Dude, so many people live out here. It's crazy.
Yeah, hey, you know what?
It's crazy how many people...
It's a different side of Vegas, man, that, you know...
It's so weird, though. Because high, even a lot of rappers and all these kinds of people, they live out here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but they're still, like...
Low-key as fuck, bro. It'd be low-key, bro. People just... You know, to come to Vegas, you post up, and I mean, that's life.
It's a good place to live,
you know?
Yeah, it's a good place to live.
That's the other end of the spectrum that I didn't get to learn about Vegas till I got old enough to fucking drive around and, like, meet people, right? Like, it's a whole other side of money on the end of the city, bro. If you stay local too much, then you ain't never going to learn about that. You know what I mean?
No, I feel you. That's exactly why I said earlier about me detaching myself a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, like, you know, I my mind, I'm like, yo, I need results. You know, if we're not doing, if this isn't getting, you know, the results I want, I have high expectations for myself. So, like,
bro,
that local shit, bro, you're going to stay local, bro. You do local shows, you do local this, local that, bro.
It'd be like that. And kind of going back to, like, talking about rap, and I also was managing Impact at the same time, around that time.
Okay.
I kind of got a sense of insecurity in myself at the time as a manager of not being able to put them where give them the resources to where I felt they deserved to be, you know?
And
it kind of was very discouraging for myself in that time of my life.
Mm-hmm.
I went through a phase of because I started working with Jabberwockies, that really took a lot of my mind off of the local rap shit in the sense of I want to help rap. I want to help Impact get to where, like, what I'm seeing now, right? I'm seeing some crazy shit with Jabberwockies.
Yeah.
And it's like, fuck, you know, maybe I need to focus on myself right now.
Yeah.
And the reason why I stopped managing and, like, I kind of just faded out, honestly. Like, it wasn't no formal, like, all right, I'm done managing. It was more so like I was going through my own emotional, personal shit of wanting to better myself.
Yeah.
Even my video shit, like, I was like, man, it's not good enough. I need to get better. Mm-hmm. I need to get better at everything. Like, now that I'm seeing this big league shit, like, I just need to be a better person.
Yeah.
I need to be able to provide more for people because I feel like I'm just wasting my time at that point, you know?
Yeah. Well, it's like you gotta go and get the resources and bring it back, you know?
Bro, what I learned through the Jabberwockies shit, and this is even relatable to any other big, you know, I feel like the local Las Vegas rap conversation is always about getting out, going to like LA, New York, type of bullshit. We get it.
Yeah.
You've heard it 1,000 times.
Yeah, yeah.
it's like, if you really want to be a manager in this shit, you really got to know people.
Yeah.
Like, you really got to.
For sure, yeah.
What can you provide for your rapper, other than business sense?
Yeah.
Like, honestly, what kind of opportunity can you provide for them? Luckily, I had the creative end where I could provide music videos and graphic design.
Yeah.
But that's outside of that, it's like, you know, I was able to only do so much, you know. I could get Rav and Impact to open up for Currency, Dom Kennedy, but that's only because, but this is what I'm learning. Mm-hmm. I only was able to do that because I know PK.
Yeah.
That's a relationship.
Exactly.
What more can I do? What other relationships can I build with other people to do that same thing but on a bigger scale? This is what I'm literally thinking this whole time, like, I'm working with Jabba. It's like, fuck, dude, like, I'm not good enough at this. I need to get better.
Yeah.
I need to become a better person at everything I do. So I kind of just, you know, took a step back and worked on myself. And, you know, on a personal career note, it worked out because I got better at video.
Mm-hmm.
I met so many people through focus on myself because I have now this video to provide to people on a high-end professional level.
Yeah.
And because of that, maybe down the line, if I did want to go back into music, at least I have those new relationships that I could actually, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you can maneuver a little bit better, more effectively.
Because, like, again, I know, like, major managers, major label managers, you know, and I see what they actually do. And I'm like, oh, fuck, that's a real, you know what I'm saying? That's, so it, I don't know, you know, it kind of made me a lot, it made me really have to focus on myself for that period of time in my life, man. So.
Yeah, yeah, especially when you're involved with somebody else like that, you're almost responsible for their career.
Yeah, in a sense, right? Know, like, you know.
It's a lot of pressure.
Like, these people are immensely talented, you know, and, like, don't get me wrong, it's just trash, though, because I felt like I couldn't provide what I wanted. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I mean, you know, you're young. Like, you know, I feel you because I was in a kind of a similar situation. And and that's what you have to, like, as a manager that, like, you know, like, nobody ever taught me how to be a manager. Nobody, no, bro, you know, there's no real guidelines to it either,
and
you know?
It's the hip-hop world, bro. Yeah. So it's definitely the definition of no guidelines.
Yeah, but really what you said, it comes down to, you know, creating opportunity for somebody. But when you don't have that leverage and you don't have, you know, the relationships and all that, then you really can't do much. You know what I mean? Because you're going to go around just explaining everybody who you are and why they should even talk to you. And it's just like, you know, and then on top of that, like an artist blowing up, like a hip hop rapper, is mathematically very, very small.
Yeah, yeah. You know what I mean? If you want to look at the stats, bro, you know, it's very rare, bro, right?
It seems like it's a lot, but it's really.
If you're
like,
one of those managers coming up in that shit, like let's say Pat the Manager or like with Chance the Rapper, you're a one of a million, like in the sense of you got lucky that the artist you happen to work with just so happened to blow up off of Sheer, whatever that is. Yeah. You know, and you look at the statistics, it's really tough, right?
Really.
So like to any other people out there, podcast wise, who are trying to go into the music management field or just music business, there's other avenues that can get you to
some
that
leverage.
Route.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like whether that's working, you know, I talk about, there is a professional way of going about it through going to school and working as a intern for a record label, PR, you know, like there are avenues to branch into that, you know?
Yeah, no, so, there are different ways, but that's why I said earlier, like, DJs make the best managers.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Videographers make the best managers.
They got them connect. You got
they
something
got them
to
connects.
Offer. At the end of the day, it's all about what you have to offer, bro.
Exactly.
Because, like, business sense is not enough to offer if you, like, just the homie, right?
Yeah.
You really got to, what can you contribute to the situation, right?
Yeah, so, you got to maneuver, bro. You got to make something out of nothing, especially coming just, if you're just, I don't know, man. Any from my perspective, if you want to get into artist management, get into something else first.
Yeah.
You know,
and finesse it, bro.
And finesse and that
and
whatever.
Be the best at what you could be. You just got to figure a way out to build a great network for yourself.
Oh,
bro.
For sure. That's life, though, right?
That's life in general, off top. Yeah. It just so happens that music is just fucking harder than any other industry. Because
you know, fame factor. Yeah, everybody wants to be famous and shit.
All that bullshit. I'd be tired of that, bro. That's another reason too. Bro. Just all that bullshit that comes with that.
It makes me just want to, like I go what I said earlier, it makes me want to buy some land in a secluded place
out,
and
bro.
Just dip out, bro, and not even like you know, play the game, be in this rat race, you know, man. So what are your goals? What's in the future for you, bro?
Sheesh, man, I don't know. Right now, it's kind of just up in the air as far as life. You know, I kind of found myself at this crossroads of figuring, like, continuing to find myself. You know, in this new like time of my life, like I don't know, you know, it's a weird time. You know,
do you have a lot of downtime because of COVID?
This year was fucking trash, but I don't know. Finding myself in the sense of what my next move is gonna be, like whatever that is. Continuing, you know, stay hungry and take advantage of opportunities.
Yeah.
But you know, I'm kind of also figuring out a lot of stuff on the personal end too. You know, obviously with this engagement situation and. Thinking about like future family shit, like it's a weird time in life to think about all this at one time.
You feel like you're in a transitional phase right now.
Head ass, bro.
Yeah.
This is hella head ass.
Yeah.
But like it definitely got me on some like spiritual faith thinking.
That's,
like,
yeah,
you know
that's
what I'm
good,
saying?
Man.
Getting closer to God in the sense of like, you know, what do I really want in life right now? You know, I've always been someone who like I always want success, and I'm never gonna be content But there's also that side of me. It's like, you know, I'm also not, I'm not a greedy person, you know. Yeah. I'm just trying to show.
Yeah, what is success?
I want to do, I want to do what I love, you know. Right. And I feel like it's interesting, like, you know, growing up and seeing different things in life with success attributed to, like, different life opportunities and experiences through all this shit. It's always something new that I fall in love with, mm-hmm. you know, light in life, you know, mm-hmm. passion and culture and just, like, appreciating the little things, you know. Yeah. I think people get caught up in the fucking rat race. And every now and then you got to remember, like, bro, come on, man. Like, yeah. at the end of the day, that shit ain't gonna make you happy.
Life's a fucking joke, man.
Yeah,
man. Life is a joke anyway.
It is.
You know?
It fucking is. You 2020 know? Was a joke.
So. Yeah, man. So, but you've been able to travel. Is that you
oh,
know,
hell yeah,
all the
bro.
Places you've been able to go, is this kind of attributed
that's
to...
That's a blessing. To, yeah. That's just... That shit's opened my eye. Like, having that ability to travel both leisurely and professionally and go out for opportunities has been, like, the biggest blessing to me to be able mm-hmm. to experience culture and, like, recognize how much bigger the world is, you know?
Isn't it humbling, bro?
Yeah, it's very humbling. Like, we're only so small people in this big yeah. world of fucking amazingness, you yeah. know what I'm saying? Yeah. Seeing some crazy shit around the world just opens your eyes to being happy and appreciating life, bro. Yeah. Like, that shit is not to be taken for granted, especially being a kid in Vegas and hearing people hate on my city all the time. Don't yeah. get me wrong, there's yeah. so many reasons why, yeah. you know? It just opens your eyes, like, dude, there's a lot more yeah. shit outside of this.
That's what, bro, like, when people get so caught up in the scene, it's like, you know, yeah, I love my city, I love mm-hmm. Vegas, you know, I was born here, but I was also born on Earth, you
yeah,
know?
Yeah, bro, Earth is big, bro.
Yeah.
It, you got to get out of that one-dimensional
yeah,
thinking.
Yeah, move out of Northtown, yeah. bro, shit.
Humbling in the sense of, like, you know, you always got to have an openness to learn and not have yeah. that ego of, like, thinking you know everything, right?
No,
like,
traveling does something to humans, bro.
It does. Man,
it helps you grow a lot, for
especially
sure.
when you go with, like, a good group of friends or people, man, mm. and having those experiences, and it's a blessing, you know.
So, what was your favorite place to go,
bro? Japan, man.
Really?
Japan is fucking.
Yo, you gotta talk amazing. To. You gotta talk.
Yeah,
to
I know. Yeah. I already know. Tenez knows okay. what's up, bro.
Yeah, yeah.
Japan is, like, I don't know, man. It. I've been, like, bro, there's still so much more to see, but mm-hmm. Just as of recently, like, culturally, it's just that place always brings warmth in my heart mm. just because of how magical it is as a city.
Like, what is it, the vibe or what, or the architecture?
I think I'm
what?
Biased because culturally in my life, Japan has played a big role in my life already. Like, just Japanese culture in the West mm-hmm. with anime and fucking those types of storylines, mm-hmm. video games, fucking food, all that shit mm-hmm. played a big role in my life and the things I love,
mm-hmm.
video games, anime specifically.
Yeah, yeah.
That, you know, it kind of has that soft spot in my heart. And I also respect the culture and the people, like, as far as we talked about earlier, off air, like, the discipline and not even off air, I'm tripping. Yeah. The discipline mm-hmm. and the honor they have in the things they do. They, like,
yeah.
it's funny. Japan, as far as creatives go, are very, like, Western creative is very, Western culture in the world is the most, like, American culture specifically is definitely the biggest culture that's impacted the whole world.
Mm-hmm.
But Japan to me is second in mm-hmm. the sense of, like, the way that they fucking do shit is just, like, it has to be the best. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's no laziness, bro. It's they do it. Not only do they do it the best, they do it so unique in a different style, a different way. In every form of shape or form, from fucking creating technology to art to food.
Bro, I've been woodworking.
Everything.
I've been doing some woodworking and architecture and woodworking. Bro, they don't use nails.
That shit's great. Like, what?
They don't use nails or screws, bro.
I didn't even know that, bro. That's very interesting.
They, like, have, they cut the wood specific ways so they can basically, they can build a house, you know, and they don't use nails or screw anything together.
That is very interesting. Like, that's a trip.
Isn't that crazy, bro?
That's a trip.
But no, for real, it's, and also I think they treat their elderly way better.
The utmost respect for people. They just have consideration and kindness, and that shit goes so far. It shows in a culture when you can do that to mm-hmm. your own people and treat people that way.
I think there's an island out there where the oldest people, like, the, like, your life expectancy in Japan is the longest. And there's an island in Japan. Did you know?
I didn't.
Am I right? Am I right, Janice?
I'm a
It's like a little island off the sea, off like right on the ocean. Obviously, it's a fucking island, but
I'm gonna Google it, bro.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm gonna Google that.
Yeah, it's like their life expectancy is like 106.
That's crazy.
Yeah, and yeah, and that goes to show, like, what the fuck are they eating over there? What the fuck are they doing?
Yeah, man. You know, it's you know, and being Asian myself, I'm Filipino.
You're Asian?
This guy.
I'm just playing. I thought you're a Mexican. No, I'm just kidding.
I've been to like, you know, other Asian countries, mm-hmm. i.e. the Philippines. I've been to Vietnam, Hong Kong, different places, and it's just Japan stands out.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's amazing, bro, mm-hmm. for sure.
Yeah, so. That's dope, man. How did it like when you go there? Did you get like an awakening?
Bro, I mean, I don't know what you want to call it, bro.
Did your soul, you know?
I just stand in the middle of Shibuya Crossing and for the first time in my life, just looking at fucking all of that shit, mm-hmm. you know? And it's funny because ironically, you're used to that type of lights.
Yeah, like the neon lights and shit.
On the strip. It's just so crazy, you know? It's like, wow, this is so different, you know? Mm-hmm. And the interaction's different. I don't know. I can't really say. It's just magical, man.
Yeah,
I mean,
you see yourself living there one day?
Bro, you know, me and my fiance.
Come on, bro. Get it right, bro. You're about to get in trouble.
Yeah, me and my fiance talk about it all the time. Yeah. We wish that we had the opportunity to live there for even just a year. And yeah. we totally fucking would. Yeah. Kids and all, like, fuck it. They can come too, you know? You know, I'm praying that I get the opportunity through, you know, my professional career to have that opportunity in the near future, you know, maybe.
Or you can just quit everything and just go off the grid, bro. Yeah.
You know,
could just do that.
A part of me ain't that. I'm adventurous, but fuck. Like, that's like, yo, I got shit to lose.
I got a good job.
Yeah, I got a shit to lose, bro. So,
but
yeah, man, I mean, not that obviously doesn't just go for Japan. That goes for everywhere in the world. And I feel like everyone has a different connection with different places, you know, and it really is. Mostly based on what you in your life love, right?
I just so
happen to love Japanese culture, but there's a lot of people who fall in love with different places, right? Like Europe and here and there. So, you know, it's on you, bro. People just got to, you know, go out your way if you have opportunity to travel, you know?
Yeah, that's the best thing. That's like my one thing in life is like every human should experience the world.
Yeah, man.
You know, Earth. Just experience Earth.
It ain't as hard as to everyone listening. It ain't as hard as you think. You know, I know people, you know, tripping about stressing over finances. Mm-hmm. I get it. Don't get me wrong. But, you know, if you, again, we talked about this earlier. If you really want to make it happen, you totally fucking can.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. Like, it's not that far. Especially right now. If you want to travel, the flights is cheap right now.
It is as accessible as it can be right now.
Yeah.
You know, so.
You know, the world's in shambles, it seems like, but really, this is one of the best times to be alive, really.
Hey, man.
You know, in human history, like, you can get on a fucking metal tube and fucking fly over the fucking ocean and fucking land in, you know, man. In a magical place somewhere in Europe or Asia or whatever, you know?
Bro, for real.
Take advantage. Because if you die and you don't go see the earth, like, and you had the opportunity to,
bro,
you know
then that's
some,
all you.
Just some paper, little piece of paper, you know, you let that get
away.
Hey,
man, it's totally worth it, bro, for sure.
Yeah, for sure, man. So one experience I wanted to talk to you about was you being on the floor of what was it, 2018 NBA Finals?
Shit, bro.
Or 17?
A couple of them.
Oh, yeah. When the Warriors were running the table.
26, yeah, hell yeah. Shout out to the Warriors for putting me on the court, bro.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
2016, 2017, 2019. Yeah, man.
Damn.
Incredible experiences, man.
With E-40 and...
A whole bunch of Bay Area shit.
Oh, yeah, bro. How was that experience? Like, did you stay up there for like a whole week?
Yeah, we would go out there for like a weekend and kind of experience the Bay, obviously. And obviously, we'd have to rehearse going into that moment.
Mm-hmm.
Bro, that shit... Remember I was telling you how I was nervous to propose?
Yeah.
That shit was nervous. this is nervous, bro.
Yeah, yeah.
So those videos in particular were one shot. Videos.
Yeah, it was like from the back and then onto the floor.
So we would have to rehearse. I would have to know their whole choreography and like go around the court perfectly to make the video perfect.
Like you had a track. Yeah.
Every single time.
Yeah.
And there's so many other factors because you got other camera people in there, like you got fucking people in the way, all types of shit. And if I fuck up, the whole video is fucked up because there's only one time you get to do this.
Yeah.
You know?
So were you shooting what was on TV?
Nah.
Oh, okay. So
what I was shooting was for our own personal content.
Okay.
Yeah, man. It's funny. I have raw footage, though, of the people who were shooting for TV.
Mm-hmm.
I'm walking all up in their shot, and they're fucking cussing me out straight up. Like, all you hear in the cameras, get the fuck out. out of the way. Oh, really? And I'm just like, yo, I'm doing my job, my guy. I'm getting this fucking footage, bro.
Yeah, fuck you.
Yeah, fuck you, man. So, you know, it was funny because after That's the hilarious. First time, that was the first, very first time
we 2016,
did.
Yeah.
Yeah, every year after that, I think low-key they knew what we was doing.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
it's like, all right, we get it. We know. Yeah. So don't fuck with me no more. Yeah.
So how did that opportunity to come about?
Just Jabberwocky shit, man.
Yeah, they requested you guys.
Yeah, shout out to the homie Nick No of Jabberwocky's. He's like Bay Area legend, and he's kind of knows, you know, Bay Area people. Long story short, yada yada yada.
It had to go down.
Reached out to us for the halftime performance, and you know it's kind of crazy because I do definitely be thinking about, damn, bro, we kind of really did follow the Warriors' little championship streak. You know what I'm saying?
For real.
I was there for the ship nights, man. I think it was 2017 was for sure the year, I think. Was that the year when KD was on the team for the first time when they won the ship?
2017, yeah.
I was there for that, and it was fucking, it was a function, bro. I was like, oh my goodness, where am I right now?
Yeah, yeah.
So, like, I don't know, you know, that was definitely
that's a crazy time in NBA history, too.
It is.
Because they were just dominant on another level.
It was, bro. They were. It was definitely a interesting time. It's a blessing. That's once in a lifetime moments right there.
Oh, for sure, bro.
Like that for shit's sure. different, man. So.
Oh, yeah, because they're not looking too hot.
Recently. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if they're getting back to the shit.
My man Steph Curry dropping career highs. Shout out.
Is he? I haven't paid attention.
Yeah, he dropped a little 62 point game.
Did he?
The other. Yeah, yeah.
But Klay's out, right?
Klay's still out.
Yeah, Klay's still out.
So
yeah.
I've been, like, you know, what's funny, this quarantine, I've never been so into basketball than I have.
Really?
Because of quarantine. Mm. I've never been the biggest sports person, but because of quarantine, I started actually watching basketball games, like, actually. Like, not just the playoffs and the finals, but, like, you know.
Basketball's fun to watch, man.
Yeah, and it's cool to just, the teams are so competitive right now, so.
Yeah. Well, are you a Warrior fan?
I'm not a, to be honest, I'm not, like, a single team fan just because I didn't.
I feel you.
If anything, I would be slightly Lakers biased just because of the West Coast and like everybody I knew growing up fucking loving the Lakers.
Yeah. I always talk shit about the Lakers for that same reason because I'm that guy.
Yeah. I definitely am more a player fan though for sure. Yeah. Man. Shout out LeBron. I know a lot of people hate LeBron, but that man is greatness, bro. That shit crazy.
Yeah. I love LeBron. I just hate the comparisons to MJ.
Yeah,
because MJ is my guy.
I'm an
MJ guy, so I can't. You know what,
player is their own great person. Bro.
Exactly. So it's hard to compare.
It's hard to compare where basketball is right now. Yeah. It is partially like an art in itself, athletically. Everyone has their own journey.
Yeah,
and that.
I come from like wrestling and and football and shit, so. You know, like the basketball players and the soccer players and the flopping and all the acting and it's just like, come on, man.
I feel it, bro. But yeah, man, that experience, bro, one of many once in a lifetime with the team, bro.
Yeah, that's crazy, bro. All right, I think it's been over an hour. I think let's wrap this up.
Shit,
yeah,
bro.
This was super dope, man.
Hey, it's fucking.
This was so good
because this is so natural. Yeah. Chopping up with you.
Man. Yeah, man, it's been a minute like since we've really sat down and talked, and you know, I'm glad to, you know, I think we're all proud of you for sure.
Bro, much love, man.
Yeah,
thank
man,
you, bro.
You've definitely set the standard high. You know, set the bar. You've raised the bar for
you,
especially coming out of Northtown, man.
Hey, man, I always got to rep, bro, as much as I can. And I'm praying that in the near future I find out, some sort of way to give back in a big way. You know what I'm saying? See what happens. In the meantime, I'm just doing me as much as I can, bro.
For sure, man. Well, congratulations on all your success. We're excited to see what the future has in store for you, bro. My door is always open for you, bro.
Appreciate
if you ever
want
to come back and chop it up about something,
let's get it, bro. Thank you, bro. That's love, man.
Yeah, absolutely.
Much love, bro.
Till next time, bro. Peace.
Thank you,
dude. I can't believe time fucking,
bro.
It's like an hour and over an hour.